news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
2 weeks after his death at the hands of Minneapolis police officers, George Floyd is being laid to rest Tuesday in his hometown of Houston. Expect day-long coverage of the funeral to dominate the airwaves. As protests continue nationwide over police brutality against African Americans, House Democrats on Monday unveiled their new police reform proposal. The Justice in Policing Act would limit legal protections for police, create a national database of excessive force encounters, ban police chokeholds and no-knock warrants, mandate the use of body cams on police officers nationwide, and ban military-style weapons for officers, among other changes. Activists and critics of our current system of law enforcement have embraced the idea of defunding the police, a terrible slogan for necessary action. Advocates will tell you that defund the police is shorthand for divesting money from local and state police budgets and reinvesting it in communities, mental health services, and social service programs. Supporters say it's a symbolic commitment to end systemic racism and shift policing priorities, rather than an actual plan to eliminate law enforcement agencies. But Republicans are seizing on the phrase to suggest that the left is soft on crime. Joe Biden pushing back on both ideas Monday, telling CBS News,
"No, I don't support defunding the police. I support conditioning federal aid to police based on whether or not they meet certain basic standards of decency and honorableness, and in fact are able to demonstrate they can protect the community and everybody in the community."
But Trump's senior advisor for strategic planning, one Jared Kushner, said Monday during a White House roundtable discussion with law enforcement representatives that there had been a problem with injustice, but systemic racism and police brutality, well, they've been fixed.
The law enforcement community heard the cries from the community, saw the injustices in the system that needed to be fixed, and they responded by coming together to fix it, and it's been a great partnership to do that. Those reforms make our communities safer and have made our system fairer, and that's the type of action that we've been able to accomplish by working together. So what we've seen in the past is that the meetings together and the work together doesn't just result in reports and in nice talking points. It actually results in progress and actual policies that make people's lives better and make communities safer. So it's an honor to work together, and hopefully at this time where there's a lot of people in the country who are feeling different pain and feeling different concerns, law enforcement can be a leader in coming together and helping us work towards bringing solutions that can bring this country forward.
A new Washington Post poll finds that Americans overwhelmingly support the nationwide protests that have taken place since the killing of George Floyd at the hands of police in Minneapolis. And they also say police forces have not done enough to ensure blacks are treated equally to whites. Donald Trump receiving negative marks for his handling of the protests, with 61% saying they disapprove, 35% saying they approve. Much of the opposition to Trump is vehement, with 47% of Americans saying they strongly disapprove of the way the president has responded to the protests. Well, so much for Trump's great economy. The recession started before the pandemic shut everything down. The National Bureau of Economic Research's Business Cycle Dating Committee announced Monday that the U.S. economy in February slipped into a recession for the first time since 2009. While some people try to paint the stay-at-home orders as less than productive, a new study published Monday in the journal Nature said that those orders prevented about 60 million infections across the United States and another 285 million in China. A separate study from epidemiologists at Imperial College London estimated that stay-at-home orders prevented about 3.1 million deaths in 11 European countries and reduced infection rates by 82%. But as U.S. businesses reopen, 14 states recorded their highest ever seven-day average of new cases at the start of June. The hardest hit states are Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Kentucky, New Mexico, North Carolina, Mississippi, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. And Puerto Rico has also recorded its highest ever weekly average. Florida alone has seen a 46% increase in cases over the last week. As of Tuesday morning, the U.S. has reported over 1,960,000 cases of the coronavirus and more than 111,000 deaths as a result. And here's something that'll make those numbers rise even faster. The Trump campaign is planning to resume holding their trademark rallies in the next 2 weeks as states push forward with reopenings. And finally, don't forget, the best way to make an impact is at the ballot box. Tuesday is primary day in Georgia, Nevada, South Carolina, West Virginia, and North Dakota. Vote. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.